So I've seen this particularly with the nivolumab and ipilimumab combination, which obviously has a much higher rate of hospitalization than single agent PD-L1 inhibition. The CTLA-4 agents, or at least this one, is certainly more toxic. When you combine, you probably are getting some improvements in response rate and efficacy, but you pay for it. It's definitely, you pay for what you get.
And actually, I was going to ask you next about that because the other person actually on this program, Dr. Jan Gigan, actually also presented at ASCO data on what you were just talking about. And this is a trial looking at nivolumab plus or minus ipilimumab. First, can you talk about what we know about nivolumab and, for that matter, other PD-1, PD-L1 agents? You talked about pembrolizumab.
Absolutely.
What you see in other cancers is kind of seem similar results. What do we know about single agent therapy? And maybe you can also talk about this trial looking at combination.
Sure. Well, the early data with pembrolizumab was the KEYNOTE-12 study, and the early data with nivolumab was the CheckMate 32 study. Basically, these were both exploratory trials that were conducted in multiple different cancers, and then single disease cohorts were presented. The first data was again with KEYNOTE-12 and pembrolizumab showing activity in gastric adenocarcinomas. Initially, they were talking about a 33% investigator-related response rate, and then when they went to central review, it was down to about 22-25%. They subsequently published in Lancet and showed again that clearly half of the patients had stable or better disease, a quarter of the patients had major responses, long duration of responses, and good progression-free and overall survival curves. CheckMate 32 in many ways was more interesting because it had a PD-1 inhibitor and also had a CTLA-4 inhibitor looking at the combination. But I think that in many ways it was very interesting to look at the degree of PD-L1 positivity, the patients that were negative, the patients that were 1+, 5+, and looking at how this degree of positivity modulated the chances for response, but even the patients that were negative still had a chance of responding to therapy. So that was the early data with these two agents. Since then, the companies that make these agents have gone a little bit different routes. One was able to put forward a phase 3 study that has now been presented and published showing small, I think 1.15-month overall survival advantage, but also sort of a subgroup of patients that actually did quite well with improvements in 12-month disease-free survival, 12-month progression-free survival, and overall survival. So that study is the first study that shows in a randomized fashion a survival benefit for a checkpoint inhibitor in gastric cancer. The other route has been looking at a single, well, actually three arms, but one arm that was the registration study, looking at efficacy in third line, demonstrating a good response rate, improvement, a good progression-free survival, and overall survival. And that's the KEYNOTE-59 study that you had referred to earlier. Again, both studies, I think, clearly show that these agents are active. I think that they are not as active as we had hoped for, and perhaps not as active as in other diseases. I think that we're learning that we need to check all of our patients for MSI and PD-L1 so that we can strategize as to when we bring in immunotherapy. Is it an MSI high patient where we should be using immunotherapy early on, or is it a patient who's MSI stable and PD-L1 negative where we probably should be using ramucirumab and paclitaxel first and leaving immunotherapy for third line? So I think that we're beginning to understand sort of the fine details of how to use these agents, when to use them, what line of therapy to use them in. Both companies have ongoing studies. Probably most interesting to me is the adjuvant study. They've been willing to go in the adjuvant setting where they're giving patients the cross regimen that we talked about earlier, the neoadjuvant chemoradiation regimen for esophageal cancer, and then giving a year of nivolumab therapy for those patients who have residual disease on resection. That's a fascinating study to me, and I'm very hopeful that it'll be positive. On the other hand, there are a robust number of phase 3 studies in esophageal and gastric cancer that will clearly delineate its efficacy in the frontline setting, second line setting, and the third line setting. They've really covered all the bases. And gastric cancer, and particularly esophageal cancer, had been a hinterland for us oncologist for such a long time, very frustrating, all the studies being conducted in the other major cancers, and now finally we're seeing interest, very good studies, very large definitive studies being performed finally in esophageal and gastric cancer.
You were talking about the issue of when to integrate it, how to use biomarkers before or after ramucirumab taxane, for example. And a question that comes up again, so many different cancers, well, not lung cancer anymore because now they're using it first line, but for example, bladder cancer, this discussion goes on, Hodgkin lymphoma, the discussion goes on, which is the older, very elderly patient who really isn't a candidate for chemotherapy. I don't know how often you see that with metastatic gastric, I assume pretty commonly. Would you like to give a checkpoint inhibitor to somebody particularly where you really don't want to give them chemo?
Yeah, and you certainly have patients who on their own are coming specifically for immunotherapy up front because they've had some relative or a parent who's had a horrible experience with chemotherapy, and many of them are eager to avoid chemotherapy at all costs. I would caution those people, though, that monotherapy in MSI stable PD-L1 negative groups, the response rate and the chances for response are so low that I probably would favor a mild chemotherapy instead. A weekly taxane by itself or with ramucirumab, capecitabine, single agent, single conventional chemotherapy is more likely to be efficacious and probably not more toxic.